As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
GMSW. Good morning, sweet world. What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining me here on a Saturday morning. It's May 21st. Where did May go? I'm J.E. Skeets with the No Dunks crew, part of the Athletic Network. Shout out to the stream teamers joining me here early on a Saturday. Really appreciate you guys. Hit the like button. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. And hello to our podcast listeners as well. A little weekend shift from your boy Skeetsy to talk about game two of the Western Conference Finals, which, hey, was entertaining. We did it. Way to go, Conference Finals. Not bad. Not bad at all. We had a game in the second half. We had a game in the fourth quarter with some timely buckets. We didn't have a buzzer beater or anything like that, but we can't be greedy right now after those three stinkers in the Conference Finals before. We also called it, didn't we? On Thursday's late night drop podcast, we were talking about, you watch. We won't have a show, an immediate reaction podcast on Friday night, and we'll get our best game in the Conference Finals. And of course, that's exactly what happened. So we'll talk about it now. Drop your comments and cues, though, here in the stream team. I'll possibly get to a few of them in a little bit. But let's jump to the game. We'll talk a little all defensive teams as well, and then maybe quickly look ahead to tonight's Heat-Celtics game. A tale of two halves. Is that what we're supposed to say? Is that what Trey says? I guess it really was, at least for Dallas when it came to shoot the three ball. The Mavericks on fire at the start of this game. Everybody splashing threes, which was, of course, different from game one where they couldn't really hit an open three. And everybody's like, well, it's a make or miss league. Those are good shots. Got to let them fly. Got to knock them down. And they did. Dallas up 72-58 at halftime. They appeared to be in control of this game. And then it did sort of a complete 180 in the second half. And the Warriors, as they do in playoff games under Steve Kerr, came back from a pretty big deficit. Down 19, and I saw it's the 12th time the Warriors have come back from a deficit of 15 or larger in a playoff game to win since Kerr took over as head coach. That's a lot of games. And it's nice to get back to first half leads are fake. You know, I like that too, because they hadn't been in the conference finals for the most part. Or at least, you know, you take a big lead in the third quarter and it's over. But this one, the Warriors come back. And I think the way they did it is really telling here, because if you were to talk to somebody about this game that hadn't watched it, and you're like, oh, wow, did you hear, you know, the Warriors came back from 19 down in the second half and won pretty comfortably, I think that person would be like, oh, damn, Curry must have hit like 10 threes, or, you know, Klay caught fire, did his like game six Klay thing, you know, maybe Poole, whatever, you know, just a bunch of three-pointers to sort of balance it out with what Dallas was doing in the first half. And that wasn't the case. The anatomy of the comeback wasn't really about three-pointers at all. It was about Looney, who was a monster in the third quarter. 11 points just in the third quarter, 5 of 6 shooting, bunch of rebounds. He finished with a career high 21 and then 12 boards. What a game from him. What a little run Looney is on. So he was doing work inside. So many little dump off passes inside to him, or again on the rebound. Jordan Poole attacking. And he eventually finished with 23 off the bench. It was just the Warriors consistently getting to the paint and getting shots at the rim. They attempted 16 shots at the rim, converted 14 of them. That's per cleaning the glass. That's a tidy 87.5%. And then on the other side, I'm not sure the Mavs converted a single shot at the rim. You know, they got some pain points, but not a lot right at the rim. And that was really game three here. Super hot start from Dallas and Luka and Brunson in terms of shooting the three ball. And I'll get to what they went away from in the second half offensively, but they lost this game because of defense, and they just couldn't stay in front of any of these Warriors guys, attacking, and getting easier baskets is what it came down to. Because again, Curry, he has really wisely just been aggressive at getting into the paint. And, you know, he's the greatest shooter of all time, but he is still getting in there and putting pressure on the lack of Dallas bigs and the lack, really, of defensive help at times. Because they, even if it would come, and it did, on whatever Warriors guard would get into the paint, and then it was just like Looney finding the right space and some beautiful passes from Curry and Poole that I can remember. We had Klay Thompson dunking twice, for crying out loud, putting the ball on the ground and getting to the rim. So just like, great job there, of course, from the Warriors. And, you know, exploiting what we always knew was one of Dallas's weaknesses, you know, an interior defensive presence. But what's wild to me is, like, they've played Gobert, and they've played Ayton, the Mavericks have, here in the playoffs, and now it's Looney having, like, truly the most success against this team so far. And, you know, you saw, Kerr realized how important Looney was. He was like hugging Looney at one point. It's like, thank you for what you're doing out there. And he was a monster and got a little bit of a podium game there. But then the Mavericks on the other end of the floor, again, after a very hot first half, they tied the record for third most three-pointers in a playoff loss in NBA history with 21. I think only the Rockets on a couple occasions have hit more threes in a playoff loss. But Jason Kidd summed it up perfectly about the second half, especially the third quarter. When you go 2-for-13 and you rely on the three, you can die by the three. And that is exactly what happened. He also added, when we play defense, it's a very astute point here. When we play defense, Kidd said, we play offense. And when we play no defense, we can't score. Excuse me, I screwed that up a little bit. We play defense when we play offense, and we play no defense when we can't score. Is that not the definition of pickup runs you guys have been in before? You know, you get with a bunch of random guys, or maybe even people you play with like weekly. There are some people out there, they don't play a lick of defense unless the ball is going through the hoop. It's true. I know many guys that I play pickup hoops or that are like that. When we're scoring, when the ball's moving, shots are falling, the defensive intensity for your team is cranked up a little bit. But when that's not happening offensively, a little lazier on defense. So Kidd knows that with this team, and that's really what happened there in the third quarter and even into the second half. That's the funny part about this game. It was like as soon as the Warriors got it to within 5 points, the game was over. Did anybody else feel that way? Maybe it was because, like, Reggie was talking like that on the broadcast. There was a part where they were down 81-76. Down. The Warriors were still down. They had made a great run, as they do in third quarters. But Reggie was talking about, like, Curry looking for the, you know, the killing shot. Which was, like, sort of true, but also he hits a three, let's say, and they're still down. It just was really funny, like the mentality, I think, from both squads after Golden State had got back into it. And then eventually took the lead early in the fourth quarter. I think it was off Otto Porter Jr. splash in a corner three. But yeah, in the third quarter, the Mavs only attempted four free throw attempts, and they were in the bonus, if I remember correctly, like pretty early in that quarter. So pressure, if they had attacked more and put a little more pressure, I think, on the officials to make a call, maybe could have stopped the bleeding a little bit more. But holy, the Warriors just living in the paint. So the Mavs, 15 of 27 from three-point range in the first half, 15 threes. Looked like they were going to maybe like set the record, right, for most threes in a playoff game. Is that still Cleveland that has that at 25? Let me know in the stream team. But then, yeah, going a little cold there in the second. And I think it was, of course, part of the Warriors going a little zone, switching things up, playing harder defensively. So that, like, you know, not as many open shots for Dallas. But the other part was Dallas, they seemed to go away with what was working in the first half, which was like just a lot of ball movement, a lot more penetration. And they seemed to start seeking out like just these matchups they wanted, you know, be it Luka getting Curry or Luka getting Looney, which, by the way, stop doing that. Looney plays him extremely well. For a big guy out there, a lumbering big guy, as I've talked about, he doesn't go for pump fakes. He actually tries to stay pretty low for a big guy. So, like, they need to get away from that. But I don't know why Dallas, maybe it was because they're, you know, I don't know what the reason was. But it seemed to, like, get a little too, like, let's target so-and-so. And it was like, no, you guys were playing Warriors ball in the first half. It was just more free and loose. And I thought they, I don't know, is that a part of, like, well, we're up big, we, you know, trying to kill clock already. And they drain a lot of shot clock. That's sort of the Mavericks type of thing, especially with Luka. But it didn't work. I also have seen, you know, Luka, Brunson, 71 points, 12 assists combined. Wow. From your backcourt. Incredible. But then I'm like seeing, you know, reading about this game this morning, something along the lines of like, but they didn't get much help from the rest of the roster. I'm going to push back on that a little bit. Bullock splashed 6 threes for 21 points. Okay, that's incredible. That's amazing from a third guy. And Dorian Finney-Smith had 10, and he hit 3 threes. He had like 10 and 8. You know, I'm not great at math, but that's over 100 points from 4 guys right there. So, while yes, it would be nice to get anything more from Dinwiddie, who had 4 points in 22 minutes, and he killed a parlay for me. I had the over on him. I think it was like 12.5, 13.5. And yeah, you'd like to get more from your centers, like especially Kleba, who only had 3 points in 33 minutes. It wasn't because there wasn't like a third guy stepping up on Dallas. Bullock was, Finney was fine. It just because they couldn't play defense. That was it. They couldn't get stops. And even when they got down and were scoring, they just could not get stops. And, you know, they scored 117 points. Excuse me. As I lose my voice here. They scored 117. That's, you know, that's got to be enough to get it done here. They just, they could not get enough stops, string together enough stops in the second half. So that's what they're going to have to work on. And they're a good defensive team. The Warriors obviously are elite and are, you know, got that championship pedigree and look locked in here at times during games. But if Dallas is going to make this a series, and I have faith they're going to win. I guess I have faith they'll win one of these games back in Dallas. I doubt two because the Warriors always win a road game in a playoff series. So we'll see if it's 3 or 4. I would continue to bet on that than taking one. They're going to have to do it with defense. Somebody on the stream team brought up a great point. It already flew by me here, but it was the best thing to happen to the Warriors last night was Draymond Green getting in foul trouble. I almost had a tweet ready to go in the first half, and I didn't tweet it because I was like, well, they're down 19, so it's still sort of technically a blowout, but I was ready to tweet, well, I was going to say, shout out to Draymond, Clay, and then Damian Lee for giving us a close game tonight. Now, again, I didn't tweet it because Dallas is up like 18, 20 points, so it's like, you know, everybody put it in like, you idiot, what are you talking about? We got another blowout. But I could sense, especially the way Lee, who had a rough couple of minutes, and then see you later. Great call by Kerr just to go to Moody there in the second half. And then Draymond Green, who was garbage in this game. He was absolutely brutal. And how he didn't get tossed, I'm not sure. I know that was a popular conversation on Twitter last night. He is allowed to bark and scream and, you know, make grand gestures at referees more than 99% of the guys in the league. It's really almost amazing. But anyway, he did a great job of letting us have a game here, a close game, because He was horrible green. Like, you know, Lee, fine. Bye. I mean, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot more of him. It's like, Kerr has done this with Kuminga. Now he's trying Lee, who is bad. He was really bad. And he had the whole Bertans, like, double tech crap there. That was funny. And, but mainly I focused on Green. It's just, he was so, I mean, I'm going to look at his box score now. He played 28 minutes. He had the 6 fouls. He fouled out. He had 4 turnovers. It felt like more. And I guess he hit 1-3, but, you know, he's a minus 19 in this game, which is, and he's, you know, only scoring 6, that's sort of Draymond's thing, but I thought he was terrible. He has not been all that great in a lot of postseason games when you really think about it, too. I know he had a couple in the Grizzly series, but to maybe win the championship, and Draymond's going to have to play a little bit better, I think, in some of these games. But holy, he was just nonstop with the complaining. And again, I can't believe he didn't get tossed, because he had already had the one tech. There was like, am I exaggerating? It was like 3 or 4 or 5 incidents after the first tech where it's like, how he could easily get another tech here for complaining. And I don't even think anybody would be like, oh, come on, refs, like, it's the playoffs. We're not here to see you. We're here to see the stars. Why do you got to throw them? It was almost like everybody was like, wow, they're really swallowing that second tech whistle. They are putting up with a lot of shit, because that's got to be annoying. So anyway, he stayed in the game, eventually fouled out. But yeah, way to go, Draymond. Way to at least like, and Clay. Clay had a brutal first half again, too. He was really bad in game one first half, and then he got to go in the second half. I think the same thing happened here in the second half for him. He was much better. Because him and Draymond and then Lee, though, in those minutes, Lee only played 5 minutes. So it's not like, it's not like he was a huge reason they were down big at the half. But it was not a good stretch from him going 0-for-2. And I guess he had a turnover, and then he had the double tech stuff there with Bertans. What did everybody think about that, by the way? The worst part about that was them reviewing it, because then we were just hearing Van Gundy and Reggie go on and on and on about it. Oh my God, it was so annoying. I wish there was like an option. No, I know there's an option on my remote to mute the volume, but I wish there was like a video review option that popped up on your screen that allowed you to like, I don't know, just listen to the in-game audio or something, with one click of the button. So you don't have to hear, the broadcasters talk about video reviews. The only thing worse than watching video reviews when you don't need to be watching them is hearing the broadcast team talk about them, because they just keep seeing it over and over and over again. And they're, you know, arguing about, oh, is that on Bertans? Did he trip him? Oh, is that actually on Lee? Because he's just trying to get up and he's all pissed off. And like, he just got a 3 rocked in his face. A little crowd noise only option still with the says. Wouldn't that be nice? You're right. I should just mute it. But I would like, you know, I still want the vibe of the game. I just don't want to hear them talk about this damn thing that we're seeing over and over again when we don't even need to be seeing it. It was nothing. Obviously, I mean, and one of the most hilarious two people to be in a fake NBA fight. I mean, Lee and Bertans. Amazing. Amazing.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
So that's what I have on this game. Let me know if there's anything I'm missing in the stream team. I'll take a quick final look here at the box score. And, you know, we had some Frankie Smokes minutes there. He was bad too for the Mavs. You know, you can just forget about him offensively. He's obviously out there for defense, but the Warriors are like, don't worry about that guy. Green, I guess, got some burn too. That was equally nothing, really. And then, yeah, Dinwiddie had a... They did need Dinwiddie's game one maybe a little bit in this, especially in a second half to sort of stem the tide a little bit, keep them in it. That didn't happen. So some good stuff there from Luka. The Fluka game, everybody was having fun with that. He finished with 42-8. Jesus. So he'll probably do that again in Dallas. It's just, you know, is Brunson good for another 30? He was attacking. He hit 5 threes. But the offense was fine. It really was. They went away from things in the second half, but the 117 points is a lot. You know, three quarters where you're scoring over 30, that's good. Just one garbage 13 there in the third. But they'll get one in Dallas. I'm confident about that. I hope it is Sunday's game. Just to, you know, then you're like, ooh, that game four, that's something there. What's the line? Somebody hit me with the line on Sunday's game because I gotta be honest. This series smells douchebag sweep to me. Smelling douchey. What's the douchebag sweep for any of you new to the show? That's when the one team wins the first three games. And then they... Sorry, not douchebag sweep. Sorry, I've got it backwards. Gentleman sweep. The Warriors would be gentlemen's here. That's what I mean. You win the first three. And then you give the team... Because you're a gentleman, you give them the fourth game. And then you go five. It's too early here. I don't have enough coffee in me. I'm confusing my douchebags with my gentlemen. Mavericks by 2.5, people are saying in the stream team. Ooh. Yeah, even Vegas. Even Vegas feels like there could be a gentleman in the air, I think, with that line. Okay. But I hope Dallas. I mean, I don't really care. I want long series here. I want competitive series. So we'll see if Dallas can get one here on Sunday. Let's talk a little bit about the all-defensive teams, and I'll actually throw them up here for you guys. Look at me doing my weekend homework. I have them somewhere here. I even got the sexy graphics with all the photos. You know, do you like to see the photos of the players on the all-defensive teams, or do you like just to read the names? Anyway, here's the first team for everybody joining us on YouTube. And I will read it for everybody listening to the podcast. We have, as the guards, we have Smart and then Bridges. Yeah, I guess he's a guard. He plays like 90% of his minutes at small forward. But then again, he guards guards. So who really cares? Smart and Bridges, Giannis, Jaren Jackson Jr., and then Gobert are the bigs. So I could just read that left to right. Bridges, Smart, Giannis, Gobert. And Jaren Jackson Jr. Okay, that's the first team. Second team. I'll give you the guards here, just for the listeners first. It's Drew Holiday. That's a no-brainer. And Matisse Thybulle. I think that's an interesting one. I know he's great, but did he have an amazing, amazing year? I'm not sure. Maybe a little reputation there from last year a little bit. I think there were some other guys that could have got that slot. But Drew and Thybulle. And then we got Draymond Green. And then two, really, centers in Bam Adebayo and Time Lord Robert Williams. So those are the 10 guys named to the all-defensive team. I do love that TNT drops this one, like this announcement here on the Friday night. And what I mean by that is, you know, I know Twitter gets upset over everything, so they're going to have opinions. But overall, people don't give a shit about defense or all-defensive teams. Like, definitely the casuals don't. So it's like... You drop it on Friday night. It's like, well, who cares? We don't need 20 minutes on Get Up the next morning or whatever show on ESPN breaking down these and the snubs and stuff like that. Hell, even for No Dunks, you know, generally not doing shows on the weekend. They just put the all defensive teams on a Friday night because they're like, Twitter will be popping off for 20 minutes and then everybody will move on. So, but I'll weigh in on it. I'm not all that angry. More notes than anything. I already said the Bridges thing. You know, again, not a guard. I can't... Here's the thing why it really is frustrating with the all-NBA teams when you're supposed to, like, follow the guards and the forwards or the bigs. You know, all that. It's like, that should all be gone. We've all agreed on that, but it's still there. But what makes it extra confusing is like some of these other teams, it's like, what are the rules for these ones? The all-rookie teams. Are we following positions or not? I guess not. We're not. All-defensive team. I'm not even sure. Can someone even explain to me whether they really are supposed to be following it? I don't think so. It's like, why are we then not even doing it? We're not doing it for most of these teams, but we are doing it for the what? Odd man. Holy crap. Either do it for all of them or just get rid of it. It's like, what are we waiting for? So, yeah, the real surprise to me is probably Thybul, you know, holding on to that spot. Because I have that right. Right? Like, correct me on the stream team. Thybul was announced. He was all defensive second team last year. Is that correct? Because it was like in very limited minutes, if I remember correctly. And I feel like that's just like, and this happens with these type of teams. It was, you know, oh yeah, that guy's a good defender. He was on the team last year. Well, I guess he's just there again. That's people can get lazy with these. So I don't think I'd have Thybul there. I think you would you'd be making a bigger case for Herbert Jones as a rookie, though I know that's tough to do for rooks to crack into these teams. And I think DeJounte Murray, I'm actually more surprised than anything Murray didn't get a little bit more love, because a lot of voters, when they do this, they can get lazy and they go, who leads the league in steals? Oh, him? Okay, he's a good defender. Let's put him on. And I'm not saying that's the right way to do it, but that's how a lot of the times it's done. And so for Murray not to get selected because he leads the league in steals, and he is a good defensive player. I think he maybe took a little bit of a step back than the year prior, but man, he is active. So those were my like biggest surprises. Like every member of the Celtics starting five, I guess, received a first team all defense in Smart, Brown, Tatum, Horford, and Robert Williams. Has anybody done the deep dive on whether that was one voter? Did somebody out there have the balls and just said, you know what? I'm just giving the entire all defensive first team to the Celtics? Oh my God. Wow. If that happened, crazy. A little wild, but crazy. I'm not sure if that's true, though. Here's the voting breakdown, by the way. Showing it to everybody here in the stream team on YouTube. So I guess Smart, somebody left Smart off their team. All right. And these are so funny. And then you see, I mean, it was pretty close there. Well, very close between Jaren Jackson Jr. and Bam getting the final spot on the first team. And Thybul getting a lot of second team votes, which again, there are like a lot of great defenders in this league. I mean, Herb is like, what's Herb too? Is he a forward or a guard? You know, it's one of those weird things. I think the Raptors have a lot of great defensive players in, you know, Van Vliet and, you know, OG and stuff like that. Though I know they got votes too. There's a lot of other names I'm not showing you here that got votes, just not enough. Draymond, like, making it despite, you know, missing a good chunk of time. So that's like, again, everybody's like, well, when he plays, we know how good he is. So, okay, give him a second team nod there. But yeah, I'm not going to turn into Temper Boy at this by any means. Who are the big snubs to you guys, though? Let me know in the stream team here. People are saying that maybe somebody did give all five Celtics. Is this true? Oh, maybe you guys are joking about Scalabrine, Bill Simmons, Bobby O'Sully, says Mike with the votes. That's probably you, Zakarian. You get a vote? If you get a vote before me on these, I'll tell you, something's wrong. Shout out to Mike, though. Go check out his Top Shot streams. Big fan of those. Love firing those up when I'm on my way into the Classic Factory. What time do you go live, Mike? 9 o'clock with Team Hold there? No, you can't ask for Temper Boy, T-Mosh. Temper Boy just happens. So yeah, that's my thoughts on the all-defensive team. Not a whole lot there. And then looking ahead to tonight, Game 3, Celtics Heat. Very excited. I saw someone right before I jumped on here that said there are a lot of like questionable guys for the Heat tonight suddenly. There's Tucker, of course, but then is Strus and Vincent also questionable? Lowry is out. wow, where did those two come from? Is a little surprising to me. If that is true, I saw people discussing it before we went live here. So we will see about that. This is a huge game. I'd like the Celtics to win tonight at home there. They got such an awesome home crowd. All those Bobby O'Sullys in the crowd there going nuts for their team and getting that game too. So hopefully we get a close game in this series, though. That would be really, really nice. So that's tonight. I think it's 8:30. I don't know what we'll do about immediate reacts tonight. We'll see. Maybe a good game we go live late on a Saturday night. If not, maybe a Sunday morning weekend shift reaction like we're doing here. Oh, I wanted to say sort of an apology to our YouTube watchers about like the last two shows, both the late night drop and then our Survivor podcast, No Buffs. Something was going on with YouTube where we went live again late night on Thursday with the drop. And we had everybody on here. And, you know, Lee was tired, but we had some larfs. And we had a cat all over the place. Wilbur stealing the show with Trey. Make sure you check out our Twitter account of, I think Graphic Mark ripped it, of there's a moment where Trey and Wilbur, his cat, literally like turn to each other and nod at each other. Must have been a great point somebody made on the show. It's so funny. And it looks like Wilbur's sitting in front of the mic, too. Like, he's the one talking. It's amazing. Check that out at No Dunks Inc. I know I tweeted it at J.E. Skeets. Oh, yeah. What was the whole point of this? Oh, so we do the live show. I mean, people were joining us. We were doing numbers. And then soon after the show ended, you know, it's still late. I'm doing the write-up. JD's getting ready to, like, drop the podcast and all that. It suddenly just like went private, the video, and we couldn't unlock it. So I think YouTube had a bug or something. And it was obviously a pain in the ass because no one could watch the show. Then the same thing happened with our No Buffs episode. So what we did with both of those was we just like re-uploaded the entire show and then deleted the live version. It's the exact same show. It's just not, it doesn't show as live. So it's a little strange. But anyway, apologies for all of that. It wasn't our doing. Still don't know really what happened. And hopefully it doesn't happen here because that would be a real freaking pain in the ass. So yeah, that's it, guys. Let's call it there. That was a good 30 minutes or so with you here on a Saturday morning. I'm going to go watch my godson play a little football. Throw some touchdowns. A little play action. My buddy Grish is the coach, so that'll be hilarious. I haven't seen them yet play this season. I saw them play last year, or last season, I guess. But I'm excited to see him. Because now, my godson, he was playing like... It was his first year playing football. This is flag football, by the way. And he was playing with much older kids. So he was, and he had never played really football. He's like a great athlete, but he had never played football. So he's like... he's sort of like... I don't know. He didn't really know what was going on half the time. But now he's one of like the older kids. Or he's the right age. So he's playing with the kids his age. Apparently he's kicking ass. So I'm going to go see some TDs today pretty soon here, actually. Got to go walk the dog, too. So we'll call it there. Thank you so much, guys, for joining me live here in the stream team. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast. Leave your boys 5-star ratings and reviews. Hit the like button. Subscribe. Go to nodunks.com to get your No Dunks merch. Those No Dunks Grizzlies-inspired jerseys and Nuggets-inspired jerseys are coming really, really soon. I think... Fingers crossed, maybe the start of the week. There's only going to be 100 of each, so they're going to go quickly. At least our last jersey did, the Cavs one we did. That went real fast. So we'll let you know as soon as those are ready to go for sale. And you guys can, I think you're going to really like them. I have some. They look awesome. They look so amazing. Breaking Tee knocked these out of the park. So yeah, keep an eye on those, but go to nodunks.com. for all your No Dunks gear. Okay, guys, we'll either see you later tonight, might see you tomorrow morning. Hell, you never know. Maybe I'll have one too many pops and you'll just see us on Monday. Back from the Classic Factory. You have to subscribe. You have to hit that little notification button so you know when we're going live. Because as you saw here, I was like, all right, let's go. 8:45. Everybody have a great weekend. Long weekend in Canada. So go enjoy that. Hopefully the weather's nice for everybody. And we will see you guys when we see you. Until then, embrace the day, people.